Hey everyone, welcome to TardyCast. I know it's been so long since we've posted. It's just been, honestly, so crazy here. It's been forever, and we didn't want to just post, you know, lame stuff. We want to make sure good stuff's happening, and we're posting it. And it's something that's going to be helpful to you, and we've taken some time to kind of rethink and retool. And we're going to have really good stuff coming soon. We've been getting great suggestions from people and topics you guys want to hear about, and we upgraded our tech, so we're going to have some of the best way to record multiple people and bigger interviews and better content. We grabbed something that I kind of been trolling through my old files, which is something I do often. I have a lot of old files from years past in youth ministry, and I think the longer you're in any job or any, you know, role, you start to accumulate a whole lot of stuff, and then you go searching and you kind of find that one diamond in the rough, that one piece that you're like, ooh, like, where has this been for so long? I came across a recording from our friends over at Download Youth Ministry, and they did an interview a while back with Kurt Johnston, who's a good friend of mine. He's a student ministries pastor. He oversees all. I think his title is Global Youth Pastor, which, by the way, is an incredible title. And he oversees all of Saddleback's youth ministry, the Lake Forest campus, which is close to us, as well as all of their global campuses, which is a super cool job. Him and his buddy, Josh Griffin from Download Youth Ministry, who also is a good friend of mine, awesome dude, awesome youth pastor, recorded a Mentor Me. I think leaders, you're going to get a ton from it. Parents, I don't know how much you'll get, but we're going to hit you up next week with some really great stuff from Orange. So be looking for that. And if things come to your mind, topics come to your mind, something, it's like, man, I'd really love to have a TardyCast about this, send it our way. We love hearing topic ideas. It kind of gives us what you want to hear about. Because once again, TardyCast is for our leaders. It's for our parents, so you guys can learn and go a little deeper in your leadership with, you know, your parenting and family and in your life group and on weekends and working with our students. So we love you. Have fun. Enjoy learning. It's about 22 minutes long, so check it out. Have a blast.
This is Mentor Me, a conversation with. This month, we interview Kurt Johnston, student ministries pastor at Saddleback Church. And now, here's Mentor Me.
All right, well, I'm sitting here with Kurt Johnston, student ministries pastor at Saddleback Church. Kurt, how are you, man?
Good. Good to see you.
Good to see you, too.
That's an official handshake.
You couldn't see that, but we did. It was a very nice official handshake. For those people that are listening to this Mentor Me, tell them who you are. Tell them how long you've been doing youth ministry, all that stuff, a little bit of your story.
Yep. Well, very quickly, been in youth ministry since 1988.
Wow.
That whole time. I joke all the time saying I've had two jobs, pizza delivery boy and youth pastor. Those two go hand in hand.
They do. They very closely related. Did you, what chain did you work for? Did you work for like Papa John's?
No. I worked for the original Lamp Post Pizza.
Oh, wow.
So Lamp this guy Post, in Whittier, yeah. California, started his pizza parlor and named it Lamp Post. Lamp Post, the franchise, came to him and said, can we purchase that name?
What?
He said yes, but I got to keep my store as not part of the franchise.
Wow.
So he is the guy that came up with the name Lamp Post Pizza and was his own standalone.
That's awesome. And Lamp Post, for those of you that don't know, it's all over California
all over.
Now.
Yeah,
it's everywhere.
All over the place. Yeah.
Lamp Post Pizza.
He weighed about 800 pounds. And one time while I was working there, he got so ticked off at a friend of mine that he jumped over the front counter chased my friend down the street. Because he was late coming back from deliveries or something.
That's awesome. You're hilarious. Like a hoodlum.
Hilarious.
That's what it was. Yeah. Amazing. So pizza delivery driver youth worker extraordinaire. And you've worked with all different ages through your ministry. You've worked with junior high.
Yeah, mostly junior high.
Yeah.
I mean, really up until 7 years ago or so, I did nothing but junior high at Saddleback since 1997. And about 7 years ago when Doug started transitioning into more of a teaching pastor and overseeing – he was just kind of a jack of all trades for a while.
Sure.
I kind of slid into the student ministries role. Still did primarily junior high.
Yeah.
And then in the last 5 years, maybe only about 4 years really, have really given junior high. Katie, as you guys all know.
Katie runs
junior high ministry here now.
That's great.
And I oversee junior high through college on all of our different campuses. Just got back from BA.
Buenos Aires, man of international
very fun.
Mystery.
Very fun.
Now. I like
so
it.
I love it.
For those of you that might have heard names in there, Doug Fields obviously was the Doug reference there, and then Katie from the podcast. If you listen to the Download Youth Ministry podcast, you can hear and see. She is a great successor to the junior high ministry. Honestly,
very much so.
That would be an interesting topic for another time.
For another time.
Because today we're talking about things you've learned in youth ministry. Now, Kurt, you've been in youth ministry for, whatever, 88 to 2015. 26
or something.
100 years. Yeah. I'm not good at math. you've been in youth ministry a long time. In fact, a lot of people listening to this today will have weren't even alive when you started youth ministry.
Right.
Not to make you feel old, but to honestly give you that credibility of you are, you know, you have survived 25 plus years in the church. Now, tell us a couple goofs. Just prove that you're human right now. Tell us a couple mistakes that you made or a funny youth ministry story. And then let's turn the corner into, like, what have you learned? Like, three or four learning stuff that you've picked up, stuff that you wish you knew, whatever. Right. Just what have you learned in 25 years of youth ministry?
Well, I've made every possible category of mistake.
Okay.
Right? So name the category. I've made that mistake.
Okay.
I left a junior higher at a major sporting event.
Wow.
Like we miscounted.
Like everyone's here, and then they were.
It was before the days of cell phones. So when we pulled the church bus up, there was a parent pacing because he had sent his wife to pick up their son at the Anaheim Pond.
No way.
Because he went to the to the payphone and called and said,
called
I got
home.
Left here.
Oh, no.
So
they were ready to talk to you when you got off the bus.
Yeah.
And you had no idea. You're coming home.
No
what
idea.
A great event.
Yeah, we had no idea. No idea. We had a junior high volunteer who looked about 13, and I counted her.
No.
So my numbers matched.
That is just hilarious.
The individuals.
All the kids are here.
I strapped a junior high kid into my surf racks on top of my car and drove around town and pulled up to a New Year's Eve party. And my youth pastor boss, because I was a part-time junior high pastor at the time, saw that. And I got a good lesson in child endangerment.
In all fairness,
but I was 21.
In the 80s or 90s, that's called good youth ministry.
That's right.
Today, that would be unacceptable liability.
Human life was not as valuable back then as it is today.
Exactly. 20 years ago, and I'm crazy how the youth ministry has changed, right?
Yeah.
That's so funny.
And I've made leadership mistakes. I've not communicated well to parents. I can tell you tons of those stories. I've frustrated volunteers, by making decisions or changes that I think are no-brainers.
Yep.
And then there's some guy who's been in our volunteer team for 10 years and is thoroughly invested, and I pull the rug out from under him thinking it's no big deal. I mean, you name it.
You've done it in that long in youth ministry, you're going to make a bunch of mistakes.
For sure.
That's awesome. Well, it's good to know you're human, because sometimes, Kurt, you're visible, you speak and influence youth ministry, and I think a lot of people think about anyone in that with that kind of platform, they just go, man, they just never make mistakes. They don't screw up. They just, and that couldn't be further from the truth.
Right.
You know, what's great about it is I could see up close and I know you're human.
Right.
And I love that you accept my weaknesses and flaws and problems and aren't surprised when I blindside you with something too, because you blindsided others.
Yeah. Well, but jumping into what I've learned.
Yeah. Okay. Let's do it. What have you learned?
Well, I'm going to say probably the biggest lesson I've learned ties directly into that.
Okay.
And the reason I think I've survived so many mistakes, the reason you've survived mistakes as somebody who works with me, the reason Katie is one of the biggest things I've learned is it's a chips game.
Okay.
Right? So everything you do in youth ministry when you're at a church is either making deposits of trust,
right?
Chips, putting chips in your pocket.
It's a Mentor Me gambling edition, right here. I'm just kidding.
Right?
Yeah.
So, and then every mistake you make is a withdrawal.
Yeah.
So when I come home on time from camp, all those parents give me a little chip of trust.
Yeah.
When their kid gets baptized, those parents give me a chip of thankfulness and trust.
Yeah.
When I successfully do something that's important to our senior pastor, a chip of trust.
Yeah.
Staying around for 5 or 6 or 7 or 8 years, chips, chips, chips. Every time I come home late from camp, I withdraw a chip. I lose some trust.
And do you think you lose a few more with the withdrawals, or are they?
I mean, yes and no, I guess.
Yeah.
All I know is this: when you're out of chips, you're in trouble.
You're out of the church.
When you're out of chips, you're in trouble.
Yeah.
And some people will hear that and think, man, but that's politics. And I don't know if it's politics. I just know it's reality.
I was going to say, you could bristle at that and immediately go, oh, that's not how it is.
I'm not playing that game.
Yeah. How dare they reduce ministry to that? And yet, it is the truth.
Right. And you've been in youth ministry not as long as I have, but a long time.
Yeah.
And we have both seen men and women in youth ministry and other positions in the church who it didn't work out for them. And a large reason it doesn't work out is because they run out of chips.
Yeah, they were overdrawn.
Right? They're overdrawn.
Yeah.
And at some point, there's the old saying, the squeaky wheel gets the grease.
Right.
And sometimes a squeaky wheel gets replaced because people say, man, we've greased the wheel so much.
Yeah.
It must be a faulty wheel.
Right.
So there's a faulty wheel, and you become the faulty wheel when you run out of chips.
That's good.
Because they don't want to grease it anymore.
Yeah.
And when you have chips in your pocket, Josh, you have tons of chips in your pocket as far as I'm concerned, right?
Yeah.
So I'll grease that wheel.
Yeah.
Because you've earned it.
Yeah.
When the day comes that you have zero chips and you're a greasy wheel, then the leader goes, I need a new wheel.
Just not it's worth just it. Straight just straight up. Too, we've invested just, so it, much and we still don't. Yeah. We're still not moving. Yeah.
So that's one thing.
Okay. I like that. Let me just drill into it a little bit further.
Yeah.
Tell me like how a youth worker out there, because we're talking about mentoring them. You have a lot of wisdom here and I think this is true.
Right.
So how do we get some, what's some ways to get some easy chips?
Yeah.
Like someone starting out a youth ministry a couple years in and they're like, I don't know what my balance is.
Right.
I haven't thought in these terms before.
Right.
Like, give me some ways that I could practically, like this week, get some wins, get some chips in my pocket.
Well, I'll say the big one, and then I'll
yeah.
The biggest one is longevity is what gets you the most chips,
absolutely.
Right? So how do you last?
Yeah, longevity is almost, it's almost like the amplifier, too. Like,
totally.
After 10 years, every time you're on time is times 10. Like, you just, chips are rolling in.
Yes, and there's
longevity
only,
is the
and at that point, there's only a few things that can empty your pockets.
Right.
Moral failures and things
Yeah, you
like
have
that,
to
right?
really,
So along the way, the little things are, I'm a believer in just doing the essentials over and over well.
Yeah.
And it starts with understanding what's valuable to your church.
Because
there's some universal youth ministry stuff that we could talk about, but everybody knows that stuff, right?
Definitely.
But what people don't know all the time is, hey, talk to me about like your church culture.
Yeah.
What are the unwritten rules of your church?
Right.
Because people lose chips and they don't even know they're losing chips. They're not purposely
losing
chips.
That's a really, really good point. If you don't identify those things that they value, you can be making withdrawals and you don't even know you're doing
that. And that's the most dangerous, right?
Yeah.
Because it's the leaky pipe under the foundation of your house that you don't know is leaking until...
So a senior pastor a senior pastor and a youth worker are on staff, and the senior pastor really wants to be in the loop on what's happening. That is his or her like value, like keep
in
the loop.
Then you keep them in the loop, right?
Time you send an email or have that pass by conversation, you're getting chips.
Right.
Otherwise, if you don't realize they value that, you're not communicating with them. You're just thinking you're leading well.
Right.
But you're actually making withdrawals every week.
Or you get hired and the youth pastor says, oh yeah, we just want you loving on teenagers, loving kids, being out with kids. So you as a youth worker hear that and you think that means I can be out with kids all the time.
Right.
What you don't know is the executive pastor walks around the office and sees the empty youth cubicle going, man, where is that youth guy? What's he doing? If he's not at the cubicle, how's he getting any work done?
Right.
So the value, the big picture value doesn't line up with the day-to-day expectations, and you're losing chips and you don't even know it. You think you're doing what's valued and you're actually working hard against yourself.
Yeah. Right? You're losing chips the whole time.
It's find out what matters most. I mean, anytime somebody says, how do I succeed in my new job? I go, you find the three things that matter most to your boss.
Right.
And you do those three things consistently
really well. Yeah.
Because there's a whole bunch of stuff that doesn't matter to your boss.
That's right.
And he's not paying attention. So do the stuff that does matter and do it well. Again, somebody's going to say, that's politics. Yeah.
Or
it
it's
is.
Smart.
It's survival. It's survival, right? Yeah. And I would actually take that and go, okay, what matters most to my boss? All the stakeholders.
Yeah.
The parents.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what matters a lot to the parents? And do a few things really well.
Yeah, let them count on you in those
Don't
areas.
Don't surprise them.
Right.
Don't change the price of camp a week before camp.
Yep.
All the stuff. Love their kid well.
Yeah.
Like, protect their child well.
Yeah, don't strap them to the roof of a car. Just a random example I'm thinking of now.
Yeah. So that's something I've learned over time. It's a chips game.
Really, really
don't
valuable.
Don't run out of chips.
Yeah.
I think something else I've learned over the years is I think leadership is overrighted.
Okay.
I really do.
With all the leadership podcasts and leadership books and the churches, I'm interested in this one. Okay.
I've worked at mostly large churches. I worked for John Maxwell before I came here.
All right.
I worked for Rick Warren.
He was the owner of the pizza place.
I worked for Doug Fields. I mean.
Just kidding. He started Lamp Post. How many people know that?
Exactly.
You've worked for the leaders of leaders. And
And my graduate studies, leadership
right.
in the church. So I believe in it. It's not my top gift.
Right.
neither is pastoring is not my top gift.
What is your top gift? Now I'm curious.
My top gift is faith.
Really? Yeah,
faith is my top gift. Which is catches me off guard. But here's why I think leadership is overrated. Only from a little bit of pragmatics, but also I think we have just universally as a church, not Saddleback, but a church.
Sure.
We've decided somehow that that's the most important thing, right?
Yeah.
And we have somehow elevated that, just like we elevate certain sins in the church.
Totally.
We've elevated leadership as the best gift.
Yeah.
Versus what's wrong with just being a pastor, totally. A shepherd.
Right? And we used to elevate that gift. I mean, we did, like, cultivate, nurture your people, lead them to, feed them. And
I get it, because leadership grows things.
Right.
And pastors don't necessarily grow things. Right. And we're a growth-oriented culture.
Sure.
So I get it, but I think as young youth workers, some of you are listening to this,
many
to
of them
this
are,
DVD
are listening
or
now.
Podcast
sure.
or show, whatever this
yeah,
thing is.
Yeah, MP3.
8-track, whatever it is. We've got 24, 25, 26-year-olds who mostly think it's all about leadership.
Right.
And I got to be the visionary. No, you don't.
Right.
No, you don't.
Right.
Just love people.
How about love people and just be faithful?
Be a hard worker and a shepherd who loves people. Anybody can be a visionary. Yeah. That's easy. It's easy to be a visionary.
Yeah.
Right? My son is 18. He's a visionary. Right? Yeah. His visions have mostly to do with hot chicks and money. I mean, right?
You've raised him right. Wait a minute.
he has no idea how to fulfill that.
Right.
But that's his vision.
But he's got a very clear vision.
Yeah. So leadership is overrated in all kinds of ways.
Yeah.
And I think we need to kind of let the pendulum swing back a little bit to honoring and valuing and esteeming men and women who have a shepherding gift and a pastoral gift and a I just love people gift.
Even as I look back in my own life, just to personalize this point a little bit that you're making, Kurt, the people that made the biggest impact in my life were not big time leaders, big time speakers, big of influence. They were people who were really faithful in the church, who loved me, who taught me about Jesus, who modeled it, who literally shepherded and coached and loved me to Jesus, loved me to a deeper faith
and
in God.
Most people are not called to lead movements and to lead mega churches. Right? Most people in ministry are called to shepherd and pastor and love the flock.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we just undervalue that.
Yeah, and what a beautiful and high calling that is, and yet.
And I'm baffled that it's no longer esteemed the way it, I think, could be, or was meant to be.
I've oftentimes looked at Twitter bios, and they just make me laugh, because everyone is anything except a pastor. For some reason, pastoring, I'm an architect and
or
a visionary.
Or job titles,
You know, I'm like
chief creative architect
whatever,
of influential
next-gen leader. Whatever happened to
I'm a
youth pastor. I'm a youth worker. I'm helping teenagers love Jesus. I kind of laugh when I see those, and I just go, be a pastor.
Yep.
Be a great pastor.
we
got a little time. Okay. Give me one more.
One more, I would say, let's just get to nitty-gritty youth mystery, is don't overthink it.
Okay.
All right.
Now help me overthink it a little bit here so I can unpack what you're talking about.
I think that no matter, how many times have you been asked, have I been asked, have other people been asked, what's the future of youth ministry?
Totally.
What's changing in the church? What?
Yeah, what momentum, what movements
are
happening?
How do we creatively architect the next generation? I don't know. I think they still like dodgeball.
they do.
I think, and you would fall in this category.
Yeah.
I think there's still a really important place to just do good youth ministry 101.
Yeah.
And that never changes.
Yeah.
Youth ministry 101 changes.
The basics, going back to the basics on a basketball team, the fundamentals.
Yes. Fundamentals.
Do those well. Don't overthink it. Don't worry about what's next.
And I think we could do a whole, there could be a lot of debate on what are the fundamentals, but, help students understand the changes they're going through as adolescents.
Yeah.
Create a safe place for them to talk about anything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And to express their struggles and their doubts and create a safe environment. Talk to them about the gospel of Jesus Christ and why the gospel of Jesus Christ is a worthy pursuit and why it's true. Help them navigate wise choice. I mean, the stuff that you that's stuff I needed in 1985. And it's stuff that they need in 2015.
Totally.
Maybe more than ever, because the world's changed so much, the fundamentals are more important than they've ever been.
Yeah. And but instead, youth workers choose what? Instead of kind of going back to the basics and kind of the core of helping teenagers navigate faith and life and their body and all that,
yeah.
What do they do instead?
Anything but. Yeah. But here's the thing. I don't think they do it purposely.
Yeah.
They get tired of teaching Friendship 101.
And if I'm honest with you, that's where I land.
Yeah.
I'm like, I have taught on how to have good friends.
That's
30 times.
Yes.
I want to teach something new.
Right. And we forget it's not about us, it's about our audience. And it's very natural for guys like me and you who've been doing it forever to go, I need something new and fresh.
Yeah.
No, well.
Where in reality, maybe what you need to do is just freshen up some great classic stuff, reteach it, and your students will be better off
And
for
even
it.
More than that is, in reality, it's not it doesn't matter at all what I want and what I need. It matters what a 16-year-old needs.
Yeah.
And there are some needs of today's 16-year-olds that are different,
Sure.
than yesterday's 16-year-olds.
Yeah, yeah.
And we don't want to neglect those. But the core, the basics that I think we could almost argue the most important stuff, right?
Like,
is relatively unchanged.
Yeah.
We have to package it different. We have to freshen it up. Yeah. We have to make it relevant and contextualized. But I think we overthink. All the conversations about the right theology for youth ministry and all this stuff, to me, it borders on just white noise. Or a clanging cymbal that we get too concerned about, and we're going, but here's a 13-year-old girl who is struggling with her self-esteem.
Right.
And I know that at the end of the day, I just need to help her see who she is in Jesus.
Yeah.
And that has very little to do with the plethora of youth ministry books and blogs
all
and workshops
curriculum
on
and resources
post,
and
post-Christian dynamics based on this Pew research on millennials leaving the church, right?
Right.
And we get all, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What do we do about that? How's it going to affect us in 10 years from now? I don't know.
Yeah.
I just know that today I've got this 13-year-old girl in our youth group who's struggling with stuff.
Yeah. Point her towards Jesus.
And that's my higher calling.
Show her identity. Yes,
that's
absolutely.
My higher calling. But if I overthink it, I'll forget about her.
That's good. Kind of a back to the basics, stick to the fundamentals. What do students really need? I mean, that would honestly change a lot of youth ministry programs, a lot of teaching calendars, if we just went, instead of like this new shiny program or this great sermon title that I just love, what if we just said, what do our students need?
I was just in Buenos Aires.
Yeah.
And I spoke at the Youth Specialties Conference in Buenos Aires. And I did I don't know what you can't do. Here's three things I know you can do. And it was Youth Ministry 101. And I was actually thinking, gosh, I don't think I'd have the courage to teach this
in the States.
In the States, because people would poo-poo it. It's
too
not intellectual enough.
And too,
like we've gone past that. And then I thought, something's wrong with that.
Right.
Something's wrong that this message I would be afraid to teach at home.
Yeah.
Because it's good stuff, and it's what we all got into.
Maybe it's what we actually need
to
hear.
It's what we all want to do every day. We just forget.
It's a good word.
Anyway.
I love it. All right, you're talking to tons and tons of youth workers. One last thought. What are you working on right now? What are you, tell us what's happening in the world of Kurt Johnson. You got a cool new resource or book or tool?
No.
No?
I mean, really, I'm always working on something.
Yeah, you're a noodler. You're always got something cooking.
I'm always working on something. But nothing brand new to prove. I mean,
if people wanted to read a book of yours, what's the one that you would say, this is the one I would like for anyone to read?
Oh, gosh.
This is your chance. You got a moment to self-promote.
I have a new book coming out. I have a new book that came out. It's for students, Reframing Jesus. It's a devotional.
There you go. Yeah.
It's really cool. Like, if you're looking to get something in your students' hands, I actually do believe they'll read.
Yeah.
Because it looks good.
It looks good. It's very cool layout.
Food Publishing put more into the look of it than
they
did.
The right size.
I tell you what, they paid the artist a heck of a lot more than they paid me.
The content's great, but the design, phenomenal.
Yeah, and it's really something I think teenagers would read. It's the right size. It fits in their pocket. It's
Reframing Jesus. Get it on Simple Youth Ministry, Amazon, from Group Publishing.
Yeah, I mean, I'm excited about that.
It's great.
I'm mostly working on how to be a better youth pastor at Saddleback.
It's great.
And how to help us figure out how to do what God's asked us to do.
Absolutely. We have a lot to learn.
Yeah.
Like every time, you know how it works. I mean, you know this better than anybody. Every time I'm like, this is working, we're doing great, something else falls apart. And we got something to learn, something to change, something to make better.
We're going to lunch after this to talk about how.